Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world who go on this journey with us and with me every week, live in the studios of WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, from noon to 2 p.m. And it's not only a radio show, it's also a podcast and a video show and so much more. And with that, you know what we do here every week. We take politics, we take culture, we take personal development, and then we put it all up in a blender, we mix it all up, and then it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. And you know, we talk the unlanguage here, the unavoidable, the underrated, the unjust, the unconventional, the unbelievable, the unsaid, you know, underdog stuff. And as always, I'm grateful to take you on that journey. Your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, consultant, leadership coach, political commentator from time to time, activist, and overall into spreading special stuff. And we're going to hopefully do a little bit of that today, too. And a disclaimer, this ain't CNN. Not that there's anything wrong with CNN. This ain't Fox News. This ain't the New York Times. This is the Gregory Neesmith Show. They cover the news. They commentate about the news. But here, the difference is we do that, and then we also get personal about it. So let's get personal about the news and the culture. Let's get into it. I like to make sure that I'm as hopefully as transparent as possible, keep you guys in the loop on how things are going. And so I'll be very open and say today's one of those days where I woke up in a bit of a funky mood. You ever have one of those days? You're tired. You're feeling a little off balance, frustrated about some different relationships you got going on in your life. Questioning whether you're doing things right. Body's a little sore. You just off. I'm a little off today. And it was one of those mornings where part of me was just like, should I call out today? I'm, you know, one of those days where you just want to, I wanted to just pull the covers back over me and just lay in bed and just be in my feelings. And I did that for a few minutes. And then the snooze button and a few minutes turned into a few hours. But then eventually I got up. And I started thinking, was today one of those days where I should call out, where I should just press the reset button and just be in my own little man cave today? And then I started thinking about the fact that I'm about to be on this new journey of actually writing my first ever book. And for those of you who know me, you know that me even saying that out loud is a big deal. Because for years, I didn't even consider myself that good at English, definitely didn't consider myself that good or even a writer. And as recently as the past few months, I actually started writing my first articles. And I now have 4 published articles from November of last year till now. And all of a sudden, this idea that I wasn't good enough or wasn't that good of a writer, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, maybe I can write a little bit, keep practicing, get better at it. And then now, you know, sometimes you know what I'm saying? You give people an inch, they'll take a mile. Like now I'm like, hey, I done wrote some articles. Maybe I'll write a book. And I started thinking about what's that book going to be about? Because I'm like, what do I know enough about to write about that you or somebody else would even want to read what I have to say? And I got to thinking that wouldn't it be cool if one thing I do know well is my story. One thing I do know well is what I've learned from others along the journey of rediscovering how special I am, you are, we are in the world, and going from this idea of going from underdog to a champ. And so the premise, I think, of the book is going to be sharing and unpacking the journey of an underdog. And what are some of the steps it takes? What are some of the steps of underdog stuff? And so one of them, as I'm starting to jot stuff down, figure out the framework of the book, figure out what some of those steps are, one of the steps that I'm playing around with is this idea of the world doesn't care what you're interested in. It only cares about what you're committed to. Now, that's maybe a bit too long, and that may not be the one of the final lists that makes it into the book. But hear me out. The world doesn't care what you're interested in. The world cares about your commitments. And so as I was in my feelings this morning, feeling a bit off balance, thinking about maybe I'll call out and not come in today, I started thinking about one of these steps of underdog stuff being, you don't care what I'm interested in. You care about my commitments. And one of my commitments is this show. And then that led me to this idea of, and this is a shorter phrase, breathing our commitments. Because even when I'm sick, I'm still breathing. Even when I'm sad, I'm still breathing. Even when I'm crying, I'm still breathing. Even when I'm smiling, I'm still breathing. And even when I'm on this mic hosting the Gregory Neesmith Show on a day, even when I didn't feel like it, I'm still breathing. And so hopefully you'll today, this President's Day weekend, this entire week coming up, hopefully you will live the things that matter to you with the type of consistency and commitment that we bring even to our breathing, which is like no matter what, unless there's a 911 call happening, you're going to keep going with the same consistency as which we breathe, no matter what's going on. And so with that, we're going to have a show today. Shout out to AJ, good friend, good brother, who is checking in on the Facebook Live. And he says, let's go, G. And I say shout out to AJ, who I believe is out on the West Coast enjoying All-Star Weekend. I'm definitely jealous because I'm a ball player and I love sports. I've learned so much about life through sports. And on top of that, I'm just a big fan. And he knows the association, the NBA, is one of my favorite sports of all sports. And so shout out to AJ, who was a former host of Overtime Radio, a sports talk show that used to air here on WHCR 90.3 FM. Shout out to AJ. Actually, AJ, you got me thinking, I got to figure out somehow to talk about what Laura Ingraham, who's a host of a Fox News show, said about LeBron James and Kevin Durant. For folks who may not know, Kevin Durant, LeBron James were filming a piece and talking about a range of subjects, and politics, and Donald Trump came up and they talked about how they're not really feeling the president. Then Laura Ingraham, who's a talk show host in prime time on Fox News, said that LeBron James should just shut up and dribble. And of course that was not met with, wasn't acceptable to say. And AJ reminds me, as being a sports guy, but also someone who talks out about the culture, someone who is about mentoring, growing the youth, and leveraging sports as just being his vehicle to really make a difference in the world. And so shout out to all the folks like AJ. Shout out to folks like Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, to a lot of basketball players and athletes who didn't just shut up and dribble. See, AJ, you got me all unscripted here, but I just had to mention that because I know that you're a big basketball fan, and I know that you are someone who I'm grateful doesn't just shut up and dribble. With that, let me go to the phone lines real quick because I think I might have someone on the line. Name and where you calling from?
Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan, talk to me.
I'm so glad you showed up, Gregory, because Black Panthers don't go to sleep and pull the covers over their head.
Tell them. Hey, you're right.
Took a peek and you said, I'm out. I'm up and out. I'm glad you're here.
All right, now, I appreciate you.
I didn't see it yet, but I will.
And I plan to see it too. And I'm gonna mention it throughout the show too. But yes, I plan to see it too.
Listen, about this Ingraham chick, you know, when our first lady was made president, first lady, and she stood on, she stood her first picture with the navy blue dress and the pearl.
Yep.
This woman almost had a heart attack. And I know because I listened to her the entire time that she went on this rampage. She could not believe that she saw such a beautiful black woman standing there on the webpage. I mean, she went, when I tell you that, I was waiting for the heart attack. I'm serious.
So,
I was waiting for it. So for her to say what she said about LeBron James, it doesn't faze me. I'm just telling you how her mind rolls.
So you're saying we should just ignore her?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm
don't give her any. Don't give her any more power, except for when she starts speaking in Russian, because they claim she's very, very, you know, prolific in speaking Russian. So, you know, maybe she's a spy. You know, I mean, so she wants to go that way. You know what I'm saying? Don't give her anything.
Because
you know, when we speak, it's important.
Then I won't mention her the rest of this show then.
Okay.
All right now.
All right.
Appreciate you, Deborah.
Take care. And it's your show. You can mention her if you want.
Oh.
I'm just saying that this is how she rolls.
Yes. And then also the one thing I will say is that I'm glad that and that guys like Bill Russell, Kareem, a lot of these athletes out here, especially even the ones we don't know about that do stuff in the community, I'm glad that they don't just shut up and dribble, because they're not just athletes. They're people and citizens of this country, and they get to do stuff and say stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right.
Take care, Gregory.
All right now, Deborah. Appreciate you.
All right.
Bye now. That was Deborah from Manhattan. Always appreciate hearing her voice. And I'm glad that she's talking, and I'm glad that you other underdogs out there talking, not just on the show, but out here talking and sharing your thoughts and opinions, and aren't out here just shutting up and dribbling. All right. With that, like I said, I was having one of those days, and I'm already feeling better just being in the studio and having folks like Deborah call up and say, let's go. And AJ doing the same on the Facebook Live. But I will say, though, I you know, there's still a little bit of grumpiness and feeling a little off. Like, almost like the world feels a little upside down sometimes. Or even recently, right? Even scandals aren't scandals anymore. Like this.
Stormy was less than forthcoming when I asked her about the allegations.
Did you have a sexual relationship with Donald Trump? You can't answer that. Did you have any relationship with Donald Trump?
Well, I think it's common, you know, by looking at photos that I've met him.
So you've met him. You met him in Lake Tahoe. Is that, can you say that? You met him when you were at a golf tournament. That's where the photo was taken. Alana said the next day, you said that Donald Trump was chasing you around the hotel room in his tidy whities. Did that happen? There are reports you've been paid $130,000 to be quiet. Have you been paid to keep quiet? Have you signed a non-disclosure agreement? Are you frustrated that you can't talk about these things? You clearly want to say, you're looking at me like you can't talk. I'm taking this that you can't say anything. Is that accurate? I'm taking that as a yes.
Remember when scandals used to be scandals? The world just turned upside down. Reportedly, Donald Trump, or I should say reportedly, Donald Trump's lawyer gave this woman who was in that interview over $100,000 to be quiet and not say something about some affair they had. And I'm not into getting into people's personal lives and business, but, you know, when folks... normally in the past, when you give hush money to somebody, it's normally news, it's normally a scandal, and it normally leads to people, politicians, bowing out of contests, not being a part of campaigns, not becoming president. So, you know, the world feeling turned upside down. Also, another example of just the world feeling upside down. I heard in the past few days that food stamps are going to be like Blue Apron. Yeah, so if it wasn't enough that the world's turned upside down and that scandals aren't scandals anymore, now all of a sudden Blue Apron is going to replace food stamps. And you may be wondering, what am I talking about? I'm talking about this.
You may have heard about this already, the Food Box program, one of the most innovative things. Actually, I think it originated at the USDA. Secretary Perdue wanted to give it a chance. We thought it was a tremendous idea. So what we do is propose that for folks who are on food stamps, part, not all, part of their benefits come in the actual sort of, and I don't want to steal somebody's copyright, but a blue apron type program where you actually receive the food instead of receive the cash. It lowers the cost to us because we can buy prices at wholesale where they have to buy it at retail. It also makes sure that they're getting nutritious food, so we're pretty excited about that. That's a tremendous cost savings. We're also contained within SNAP and a lot of the other welfare programs, a lot of the able-bodied work requirements that you've heard us talk about last year and during this year.
No wonder I'm feeling a little funky, a little under the weather, a little turned upside down, because the world feels upside down. Blue apron? Replacing food stamps. Scandals aren't scandals anymore. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one feeling a little off. But I will say, shout out to Nicole, who says yo on the Facebook Live. Shout out to Carla, who just said what up, G, and also just said, huh? Well, you got to tell me what you're saying, huh, about Carla, and then hopefully maybe I can answer. And then shout out to Donna, who said, nice t-shirt. For those who might be watching on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith, you'll see I have on a shirt that says, be dope. And, you know, my favorite saying, can't nobody do it like you do it. So we all have dopeness in us. That can't nobody do it like we do it, nobody. And shout out to Donna, who is my inspiration for this shirt, because I saw her with this shirt on, and I was like, Donna, help a brother out. I got to get one of those. And so I went and ordered, and I got one of those, and I'm wearing it now. So shout out to Donna, who I used to work with back in the day and who's good people and a good friend. And y'all are giving me life because, like I said, feeling a little under the weather. But as Deborah said, Black Panther would keep going. And so I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to talk about Black Panther today, too. I got some interesting thoughts about it because I'm in one of those off moods, grumpy moods. So I'm probably even going to be grumpy about Black Panther, but I'll explain. But like I said, the world's feeling a little upside down. Scandals aren't scandals. Blue Apron's about to replace food stamps, which is just a crazy idea to me. I mean, I get it. It might be a way to save money, but we seem to be wanting to save money when it comes to helping those who are disadvantaged or those who need assistance, but we want to spend more money on things like the military. We want to spend more money to give tax breaks to corporations and those who are already very wealthy. And I get it. We want to maybe send some dollars made in America, by America, and the food stamp program becoming a Blue Apron thing could help. But come on now, reduces choice. What if your kids have food allergies or something like that? A lot of those foods would be sent to them as canned preserves, high in sodium, so technically unhealthy. It would eliminate the ability to go get fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, it just goes on and on. As to me, it's like why this isn't a good idea, but the world's turned upside down. A friend of mine was telling me about this new dating app called Bumble, where the woman makes the first move instead of the man. And I'm all for whoever wants to make the first move. But again, another sign of it, just things feel turned upside down. That's just different. Not that anything's wrong with it, but it's different. And we got other things, like in politics. Democrats caring about deficits all of a sudden. Republicans defending Russians. It just all feels all wacky, funky. But I do think that there's a silver lining. Some good news is that when the world is in a bit of chaos, when things are turned upside down, it means that there's opportunities for us, especially as underdogs, to rewrite the rules, to do things in a way that may be different than they've been done in the past, because, hey, it might just work. Someone might just be open to it. Non-conventional seems to be the way of the world right now. And that is just how it is. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into one of the big things going on this month. Not only is it Black History Month, but I think some people might call it Black Panther Month with the way that there's been so much coverage of this movie. There's been people going to the theaters since Thursday night to now. I haven't seen it yet, but I plan to. I'm going to give you my thoughts and also love to hear yours on Black Panther, Black History Month, the world feeling upside down, scandals not being scandals anymore, people just wanting athletes to shut up and dribble. Also, how do you keep going? Because I know I'm not the only one who wakes up some morning and just wanting to pull the covers back over. How do you keep your commitments? How do you keep going? How do you breathe your commitments? We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. The Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture more after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. You know, we put politics, culture, personal development in a blender, mix it all up, and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff, the Uns. Shout out to all the underdogs going on the journey, listening on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, or watching and commenting on the Facebook Live, which I always appreciate. Shout out to Carla, who explained to me now when she said, huh, what she was talking about is she appreciates that I keep my ears to the ground, my ears to the streets, and let her know, again, why I'm feeling like the world's turned upside down is because now we want to turn food stamps into Blue Apron. And for those who may have just joined, I'm talking about this right here.
On this, I've been a critic of Trump on many things. I actually like this idea. I think it's innovative. It's clever. They're not talking about replacing all SNAP, as food stamps are now called, SNAP, all SNAP benefits, but some of them. So right now, you get money loaded onto your card. It's taxpayer money, so it's that is welfare. And you can take that card to a food store and buy almost anything in the store. The only things you cannot buy are booze, cigarettes, pet food, and things that aren't food. You can buy junk food, you can buy nothing but Coke and Doritos if you want to. And one of the arguments here is this is a way to get a little bit of control over what people are eating with the taxpayer money they're spending. So part of, not all of it, but part of it would be that, you know, can imagine they would contract out probably with Blue Apron or something like this. And the government's argument is we have such buying power that we would be spending this money at the wholesale level, whereas the money that people spend with those cards at the retail level is marked up. So we'd be getting a big discount there. Of course, it would all depend on how efficiently it was administered. Always plenty of room for trouble there. Dion's right about that. But I think it's interesting.
Yeah, world's turned upside down. Scandals aren't scandals anymore. Donald Trump's lawyer can pay money to someone that he allegedly had an affair with to keep her quiet. We can find out about it, and it doesn't even make the headlines. Doesn't even lead to being news. Doesn't even lead to any arrest or him bowing out as president of the United States. Doesn't lead to that. World's turned upside down, feeling a little off. All of a sudden, food stamps are now going to be Blue Apron. Terrible idea. And not just because it's a terrible idea, because there's some actual factual things why it's terrible. The foods would be sent would be mostly canned food items that, as we know, aren't as healthy as the ability to go to the supermarket and buy fresh groceries. Also, it would obviously limit the flexibility and choice that people have as to what they can buy. What if your kids or family members have certain dietary needs? Well, you'd have no flexibility if you're getting a shipment of canned fruits and vegetables sent to your house like it was Blue Apron. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little off. And then also there's stuff going on in the news and the culture that has me thinking like the world's turned upside down. But as Deborah said, I get to keep going. And as Nicole just said on the Facebook Live, she goes, I should go see Black Panther. That will help fix my mood and get me in the right mood. So speaking of Black Panther, it's Black History Month. Month where we get to celebrate Black folks in this country and all that we've done to play our part in attempting to make this country the best it can be. Even at times when this country doesn't see the best in us. And Black Panther has been a big deal this month. And so, yeah, I'm caught up in all the hoopla too and hype. Black Panther. Let's play a little clip.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people as to their national destiny.
My bad. Did I play the wrong Black Panther clip? You know how I do. I didn't play the wrong Black Panther clip. It's Black History Month. And so I wanted to play a clip of the Black Panther Party that, oh, by the way, started in the 1960s, I believe 1966, the same year as the comic book hero Black Panther was launched by Marvel. And so, given that it's Black History Month, and you know I'm not all about either or, I like both, I wanted to make sure we also shout out the original Black Panther. Now, I'm from Philly. Shout out to the city, brotherly love. And Philly has a bit of a underdog spirit to it. Started as the birthplace of America, birthplace of the United States. And I know it's a birthplace. We're a country with a troubled history and past. I get that. But it's still the place that I currently call home and you call home. And it started Declaration of Independence. We got a Constitution, Benjamin Franklin, all that stuff happened in Philadelphia, my hometown. And then over the years, the financial center of the United States moved up north to Manhattan, now known as the Wall Street area, the financial district. And as we know, New York also became the place of Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty, the place where folks would come to America to live out the dream, the pursuit of happiness, where all men and women are created equal. I know that's the intention. Clearly, that didn't include everybody. Didn't include blacks and African Americans and slaves. We're still trying to get that right. But all that stuff went to New York. Then when it came time to where we're going to put the government, the federal government, all the branches, the Congress, the executive branch, the judicial branch. Are we going to put it in the birthplace? No! They put it in Washington, D.C. All of a sudden, my hometown, where it all started, now all of a sudden, New York is the place for the American dream. It's the place for Wall Street. D.C. is the place where our government sits. Places like Boston, where the Tea Party happens, and there's Harvard University, and where all the great thinkers come from. All of a sudden, Philly just left out. A city that feels like it's got a chip on its shoulder. A city that feels like it has something to prove. A city that may oftentimes, and me being a fellow resident of the city, feel like maybe we just aren't as cool or as special as the folks who are Washington, D.C.ians. Is that how you, what are you? Are you a D.C.er? A Washington, D.C.? A Washingtonian? I don't know. Bostonian? I know New Yorkers are New Yorker. Help me out. I don't know. What's someone who's from D.C. called? A Washington, D.C.er? Anyway, so So I get it. So Philly, we got a chip on our shoulder. And then oftentimes, one of the places where I think cities look to get some of their pride or some confidence, when in reality we should get it from things like our politics, our justice system. We should get it from like how we tax people, how free people are, economic freedom, are the communities safe. But, you know, we're human and we get some of our pride and confidence from sports. And then so New York, they got two of everything. They got the Rangers and the Islanders, the Nets and the Knicks. They got the Mets and the Yankees. They got a lot of everything. And so when you got 8, 9, 10,000 teams to choose from, just probability says some of those teams are going to win. And so New Yorkers feel like not only are they Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty, they're champions. They got the Yankees, 27-time champions. They got the Knicks. They got all these winners. They feel like winners. I'm and happy to call New York City and Harlem home now. I nothing wrong with that. I feel like a winner, even though I felt like a winner when I was in Philly too. But sometimes folks in Philly just didn't feel like they were that special, weren't winners. And so, and hold on, I'm going to get to a point because you're probably wondering, first of all, I played the wrong Black Panther clip, and I didn't. I did that on purpose. But I'm going to bring this all together in a little bit. Just roll with me. And so, if you would ask a Philadelphian, and they've done different polls, and you ask people on the street and say, who are some of the all-time athletes in Philadelphia, city of brotherly love? People would say Mike Schmidt, who played for the Phillies. They might say Dr. J, that played for the Sixers. They might say the answer, Allen, we talking about practice Iverson. They might say Randall Cunningham, one of the first Black quarterbacks in the NFL to have a lot of success and lead a franchise during a time when people were questioning could Black men have the intellect along with the right skill set to lead a team and be the face of a franchise, which we knew was ludicrous because we knew they could, and they have, and they do. And people might say Joe Frazier, famous boxer. Might say Wilt Chamberlain. But you know who else would come up on the list when you ask some Philadelphians who are their all-time favorite athletes? Rocky. Rocky Balboa. What? Why Rocky? Nothing against Rocky. I've watched like all 17,000 of the Rockies. And then I think Creed was a kind of a remake of it that recently with Michael B. Jordan, who also is in Black Panther. I think he plays the villain in the movie that I will see. But Rocky would come up as one of Philadelphians' favorite all-time athletes. And Rocky's not real. Rocky is a character. And Rocky comes with issues too, right? Rocky. But Rocky's story, this idea of the underdog and about being a champion. And so I get it. Now that I'm older, I understand why Philadelphians would have Rocky be one of the top five or top three athletes of all time in Philadelphia, because Philly wanted a winner. They wanted a champion. They wanted to be seen as winners, as not the underdog, but as the champs, because they had a chip on their shoulder. We have a chip on our shoulder. We're not D.C. We're not Boston. We're not New York. But we had Rocky. And in a way, if you really think about it, it's a bit sad when we as Philadelphians would have to pick a fictional character as part of our pride about how we are champions and how our city produces champions, because we didn't have enough champions in reality. Which brings me to the reason why, when it's time to talk about Black Panther, and we're going to talk about it, that for myself as a Black man, as a Black person, as a Black American, watching my parents, also at times, who grew up during Jim Crow and segregation in the South and South Carolina, when I see this feeling of how special are we, or are people counting us out, I wish I could see more in reality about how great the Black American is. I get it that during a month of Black history, where it almost feels like the biggest thing going on is a fictional movie, as opposed to some of the things that are also a reality. Like,
the Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court, and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of Black people as to their national destiny.
We have the Black Panther movie that's out, and we also have the Black Panther Party that was out. And I'm not about to get into this either or, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. It is a limiting mindset and idea to think that things have to be this or that, that it's reality or fiction, that's fiction or reality, that's art imitating life or life imitating art. I don't want to pick between both. I want to have both. But I also understand why sometimes the fiction can get so much hype when there's not as much reality out there to grasp onto. I want to take, I believe, a call that we have on the line. And also, I want to read some of the Facebook Live comments. I see Keith has checked in. I see Daryl is back in the mix. The 215, one of my good friends from growing up in the city of Philadelphia. And both are also big sports fans, so I know that they are going to have some things to say, because you know what we do here. We take politics, we take culture, we take personal development, we put it in a blender and it spits out a special W underdog stuff. And we're going to do that today for the rest of the time we have, because we got a little over an hour left to make that happen. So let me go to the phone lines, and then I will get to Keith and Daryl's comments too. Going to the phones, name where you're calling from.
Hi.
Talk to me, Deborah.
How you doing, Deb? Listen, I just want to tell you something. Philadelphia, I really liked Rocky 1 and 2. It was nice. It was, you know, it was entertaining. But when I got to Rocky 3, I fell in love with Rocky 3. And I couldn't stop watching it. I would watch it on cable all the time. I'd put it on Showtime. I'd put it on HBO. I'd watch it at the same time on different stations. And I always had certain parts that I liked. And I always liked the part where Rocky found out who he was and that he had been carried by his, you know, the older guy.
Yep.
And then when Apollo taught him how to be a real fighter, that, to me, solidified him as a boxer, a real boxer. It solidified him in his mind that he was a real boxer. But it's interesting at the end when they play the ding-ding and they go into the whole thing and they hit each other and, you know, the modern picture comes up and the credits and everything. When you go to Rocky IV, you see Rocky come home with a bruiser. His eye is all bashed up, and he's got his little, you know, his little hat on and everything. And he never says anything. Nothing is ever said. But what I really despised about Rocky IV was that it wasn't that Apollo died, but that he died with someone who was on steroids. And that was never brought up. But Rocky could go to Russia, climb a few mountains, get the black guy from Apollo's team to, you know, to help him.
And then when he goes over and he finally beats this guy, you know, everybody can, you know, hold hands and be happy and, you know, we're all, you know, we're both countries that we can stand together and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the way it went. So now I am very honest about it. I have not seen the first Creed, and I will go and see it because I want to see it. But that's the part that they really screwed up on.
No,
because you can't overlook Rocky III. You just can't. I mean, Apollo was the man that taught him. I mean, this man didn't know how to swim. He had muscles he hadn't even used.
Yeah.
And you understand what I'm saying?
Where
did he go? He went to Philadelphia. He took him back to his hometown.
Yep.
With his racist son and brother-in-law, you know, who couldn't deal one way or the other because he didn't want to deal with black people. But it's a very interesting, you know, because he said to him, he said, you won't understand now, but you'll understand later. And so they made Apollo a clown at the end. You know, he came out, he's dancing, and, you know, our man, you know, James Brown, you know, he did America. I mean, but, I mean, like, the way in which they did, the way they created Apollo in Rocky IV, it was blasphemous. It was not, that was not, and that is not who he was.
No, and
if you look at Rocky III, I couldn't get enough of him.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we based on what you just said, I mean, we could do a whole show just on, like,
yeah,
on
you
just
could.
On how art, the messages that it sends that are both can be empowering and the ones that can be disempowering, how
yeah.
they can characterize women or men of color or men, like, it's children, like, it's deep. So you've given me some inspiration of, I think we're going to have some future episodes where we break down some of this. And just so you know, I'm not hating on Black Panther, the movie, but I did and do want to bring up the fact that there's also reality out there of during this month of Black History Month, there's the real Black Panther Party we get to acknowledge and talk about too.
Absolutely.
And that while the Kingdom of Wakanda is awesome, I also want to talk about there was a kingdom called Black Wall Street that happened in reality in America that we should also
right.
give a shout out to this this today.
Okay.
Hey, I appreciate you, Deborah. You too.
Bye.
All right, that was Deborah from Manhattan. Like I said, I do want to get to some of the Facebook Live comments from Keith and Daryl and others that may have jumped into the conversation. Thank you to Deborah for calling, breaking down some of her thoughts on Rocky. Art imitating life, life imitating art. There's a lot that we learn from sports and learn from entertainment, good and bad. It can be a window. It can be a mirror. It can be a mirror. It can be a window. All that stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Like I said, I've been feeling a little off, but you are helping me get back on track because today I want to keep breathing my commitments. And one of my commitments is to be here every Sunday and talk underdog stuff with you. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to shut up and dribble. I'm going to keep talking and dribbling at the same time. More of the Gregory Niesman Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Niesman Show. A special, special delivery of underdog stuff where we get personal about the news and the culture. This is not CNN. This is not Fox News, it's not MSNBC, this ain't the New York Times, this ain't the Wall Street Journal. They cover and they commentate about the news and the culture, but here we do that, plus we get personal about it. We get into the underrated, the unavoidable, and there's unavoidable stuff going on all the time. Scandals aren't scandals. Blue Apron is about to become food stamps. Republicans defend Russians. Democrats care about deficits all of a sudden. If you're on the Bumble dating app, the women make the first move. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, you know, different than how things normally roll. World's upside down. If you're feeling a little off, I get it. I felt a little off today, too. Almost didn't want to come in. Wanted to pull the covers back over. Going to my cave today. But like I said earlier in the show, I'm kicking off working on my first ever book. And the idea is the steps of underdog stuff and unpacking the journey of an underdog and sharing my story, sharing other stories and things that I've learned along the way about how underdogs rediscover how special we are in the world and go from underdog to champ. And as I've started to try to think about what some of those steps are, one of them that I've been playing around with is this idea of breathing our commitments. And what I mean by that is, think about literally our breathing. When I'm crying, I'm still breathing. When I'm smiling, I'm still breathing. When I'm sad, I'm still breathing. When I'm happy, I'm still breathing. When I'm hosting this show, I'm still breathing. And so what would it be like if the commitments in your life that really mattered, you were able to come at them with the same commitment, no matter how you're feeling, with the same commitment our bodies have to keeping us breathing and keeping us going? And of course, there's 911 moments when you need to like take a real break, there's an emergency, something goes on. But more often than not, no matter what's going on, we keep breathing. And what would it be like if we kept our commitments like we keep breathing? And so as a result, I'm here today. Because the world doesn't care what I'm interested in. It cares about what I'm committed to. And I'm committed to spreading special stuff and grateful to be able to do it every Sunday with you. Let me know, how do you stay committed? How do you keep breathing your commitments? In the meantime, like I said, let me go to the Facebook Live because there were some comments that I wanted to get to. Keith says, shout out to Keith, a dude of disruption for life. Good people. Appreciate you, Keith. I love Keith as an underdog who's also on his entrepreneur journey, someone who wants to create things and create jobs and make stuff happen. So appreciate Keith for checking in. He says, shout out to Philly and mentions that we at least have cheesesteaks to be proud of. And shout out to Keith. I do enjoy myself a good Philly cheesesteak along with a good soft pretzel, too. Shout out to Keith for reminding me that if nothing else, we got some good food down there, which we do. Daryl says, Keith, we have history, culture, great healthcare, fine institutions of higher education. And Daryl mentions we're also now home of the Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, which is very true. And then Keith also says that as a Chicagonian, you know, it always throws me off. Is it Chicagoers, Chicagonians, Philadelphians? It's different for every single city, but Chicagonian, which Keith is, he says he bleeds with us. He can relate to Philadelphians because he talks about the second city syndrome. And yeah, Chicago is oftentimes Midwest seen as second to some of the coastal cities. So I know that Keith can relate to sometimes being from a city that has a chip on its shoulder. Also, shout out to Courtney, who says, hi, Greg. And I say hi back to you, Courtney. Thank you for checking in. Appreciate you. And those are some of the many comments on Facebook Live, which you can check into at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That's GREGORYNESMITH. And today we've been talking about commitment. We've been talking about feeling upside down. Things are upside down. Scandals aren't scandals anymore. Republicans look out for Russians. Democrats care about deficits. It's just all up in the air. It's Black History Month, and folks are all hype about Black Panther. And then sometimes, not as much as I would like, they don't mention this Black Panther.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice.
Yeah, that's because there's also the Black Panther Party, not just the Black Panther movie. And that being said, you know how I feel. I don't think as underdogs we get to think about this or that, either or. We can have both. And so I ain't hating on the movie. I'm going to go see it. But I get it, though. Like I said, I'm a fellow Philadelphian, to use city examples. And I feel like as a Philadelphian, I got a bit of a chip on my shoulder, that I feel like people don't see my city and Philadelphians as special as they see D.C., as special as they see New York, as special as they see Boston. And so therefore, when Philadelphians are sometimes asked who are their top favorite athletes of all time, because sports is often a place where cities and communities and people come together, regardless of race, gender, age, and they can get a sense of togetherness, belonging, a sense of confidence, a sense of we are champions because our sports teams are champions. And so in a city that has oftentimes struggled with feeling like it is still special, even though it's the birthplace of this country, a country with a, you know, shaky past, but still the birthplace, and then all of a sudden Wall Street moves to New York, the Capitol moves to D.C., Harvard and the intellectuals are in Boston and not in Philadelphia, and we feel like folks don't give us enough respect. And so when you ask some Philadelphians who are the best athletes of all time, a place where cities oftentimes have a lot of their confidence and their emotion, people say Will Chamberlain. People say Dr. J, who played for the Sixers. They say Mike Schmidt, who played for Phillies. But then they also say Rocky. Rocky's not real. But I get it. Because Rocky's seen as an underdog who became a champ. And people like to feel like champions. And he also is seen in the arts and entertainment as representing Philadelphia. And so in a city where we didn't have as many championships as some other cities, or not seen as Wall Street, which New York has, or not seen as the capital anymore because D.C. has it, sometimes we reach for fiction as a place to find some of our confidence. And so I get it. And now with all that being said, Rocky should never be in the top of anything of all-time athletes for Philadelphia because he's not real. But he does play a role in our consciousness and how we see the world and how Philadelphia sees themselves. And so I get that during the month of celebrating Black Americans, that it seems as if the biggest thing going on is fiction. It's Black Panther, the movie. And I get it, because oftentimes as a Black man, as a Black person, as a Black American, I get feeling like maybe I'm not seen as that special, or this country doesn't value us. And so it's awesome to look on the screen and see the land of Wakanda and see all these chocolate and black and brown faces and feel like how special I am in the world. But it's fiction. We also have an actual Black Panther Party that existed, that fought for equality. And I get it. Black Panther's a big deal, right? We talk about the mirror versus the window when it comes to art and entertainment. The window being certain things I consume help me see beyond my current situation. They help me see parts of the world that I may have never been exposed to. And then the mirror is this idea of arts and entertainment where I can look and consume something and I see someone that looks like me. I see someone who has shared experiences with me. And so for a lot of Black Americans during Black History Month, and just in general, looking at that screen and seeing those folks means something. It's a mirror. Also, it means that some folks are getting employed. They're directing, they're acting. You know, they live it, which is good, too, getting some of that Hollywood money. And at the same time, while we can celebrate the kingdom of Wakanda, I also, during this month of celebrating history and reality, want to also remind folks that there was a kingdom that actually was in, and I use kingdom metaphorically, in the 1920s in a place called Greenwood, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Back in the early 1900s, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a city exploding with opportunity. With the discovery of oil, the money that flowed into Tulsa made it one of America's wealthiest boom towns. Some of the town's newfound riches landed in the hands of Tulsa's Black residents, many of whom worked for white employers. But because blacks were unwelcome in white-owned stores, they brought their hard-earned wages back to their own community, a community known as Greenwood. There they built up a thriving business district that was so successful, it was called the Black Wall Street of America.
If you want to put up a business, that was the place to put it up. There were theaters, barbecue places, grocery stores, jewelry shops, shoeshine parlors. I mean, all black businesses, all up and down to Greenwood.
And we had our everything in those days. We had our plumbers, our electricians, our builders.
Everybody owned their own businesses, and everybody was making money.
We can do both. It's not about either or. We can enjoy Rocky. Or, as Deborah said, we can even dissect it and talk about some of the pros and cons of Rocky and some of the things it said about society, about race relations, and so forth. But big picture, we can enjoy Rocky. And yet at the same time, he doesn't get to make the top five athletes of all time in Philadelphia. We can leave that for folks like Mike Schmidt, like Joe Frazier, a real boxer, like Allen Iverson, like Will Chamberlain. And when it comes to celebrating the contributions of black Americans, we can do both this month too. We can celebrate the movie Black Panther, which I'm going to go see, I think, tomorrow. And we can also celebrate the Black Panther Party. We can also think about the fantasy of Wakanda, but also talk about the realities of a place called Black Wall Street that used to exist in Greenwood, Tulsa, Oklahoma. With that, I'm going to take a pause, let all that sink in for a bit, and then go back to the phone lines. Name and where you're calling from, and someone please turn down your radio in the background.
Yeah, this is Barry again.
Yes, Barry, talk to me.
Yes, man. Greg.
Yes, talk to me.
All right, look, man. The depiction of the Bayonne bomber was take off with Rocky. And Rocky, like you already stated, he was a fictional character. And so much is the America diaspora is fictitious. The thing about it, these hardworking, committed people, as many of them is not around now. They fought and they died. And like Deborah said, the real character in the movie, you know, he killed over and died. You know, and meanwhile, they're making a statue out of a fake, a phony. And this is what the country is about, being about fake and phonyism, you know. And so the thing about it, now you have Sugar Ray, you have
Joe Frazier.
Smoking
Joe.
You have Larry Holmes. You have, what's his name, from The Executioner, the boxer.
Roy Hopkins. Talk to me.
Right on. I don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, we get your point. And you know,
males and females alike. The basic point is the fabrication is really undermines what, you know, the country really is about, because those people who have really made America what it is the ones that really catch the brunt and gets displaced. And all of a sudden, this image is put in front of the screen as these hardworking people who really just ripped off and robbed from centuries. You talk about the depiction of Jesus the Christ, you know, Sir Rabbis. These depictions, you know, of these phony balonies who never really really had to do anything. They fed, you know, a platinum spoon, like the president, a platinum spoon fed president, given a $10 billion, you know, to get into business. And that's like $1 billion to somebody. Can you imagine somebody giving you $1 billion to start off in business? Of course, you wouldn't have a concern about, you know, the real nut and bolts about, you know, the business, you know, life of a person who has to fill out an application and hope somebody gives them a thumbs up. Meanwhile, you know, I mean, you know, this whole phony baloney-ism, you know, that statue in Philadelphia needs to be taken down, because Sylvester Stallone, he's been locked up, arrested for raping a 16-year-old girl. I mean, and he depicts himself in one side, But who's the real? Who is the real person inside? He got Rocky IV, Rocky V, Rocky 20. You know, kicking down doors, Ramboism. But who's the real phony baloney fakeism? You know, that really is the real image of America. And while real people have fought, died, lost their livelihoods and lives, and this Black Panther, Black History Month, Our Story Month, we should really be sounding off about this here, because we're not trying to be displaced here.
No,
we are the real indigenous people over here. We are the real indigenous people around the planet, and others have gained from it. And so let's be honest about it. So we don't have to, you know, fabricate things to, you know, we can, you know, contribute to what the cave people have really did. I can go on and on about, you know, the shields and the monarchies. Yes, they have black, they have African blood in their family. So for the president to call the Africans a disgraceful name like that, well, what is he calling his own grandmother? You know, why haven't black people really sounded off? Man, this is Black History, Our Story Month. Man, this is our indigenous inheritance in this country and around the globe. Hey, you know, sleeping behind the wheel just because he got a job thing, you know, there's no excuse no more.
Hey, and Barry, you know, I appreciate you always letting folks know. And as you can tell today, I'm telling not just the fake stuff, I'm telling the real stories too. And that's what we're going to keep doing the rest of the show. All right, now, Barry, appreciate you.
On the rebound, baby.
Yes, indeed. And that was Barry. From Westchester. Today, like I said, been talking about the fact that it was one of those days where I just didn't have it. Feeling under the weather, feeling a bit off balance, questioning, am I doing it right? Just a little funky, a little off. And I even considered, should I just call out today, pull the covers over my head, and just start over tomorrow? And then I started thinking about this journey that I'm on in terms of starting to write my first ever book. And the theme is this idea of telling my story, telling other stories, and also what I've learned over the years of this idea of rediscovering how special I am, you are, we are in this world, and going from underdog to champs. And the book will be about unpacking the journey of an underdog. And so I've started to think about what are some of those steps that I've seen that have happened in my life and others that have helped along the journey. And one of them is what I'm kind of exploring, playing around with, is this idea of one of those 11 steps of underdog stuff being breathe our commitments. And under this idea of the world doesn't necessarily care what we're interested in. They care about what we're committed to. And this idea of metaphorically, but also literally breathing our commitments is this idea that, think about it. When I'm sick, I'm still breathing. When I'm sad, I'm still breathing. When I'm smiling, I'm still breathing. When I'm doing this show, I'm still breathing. And is there a way that I can bring that same consistency of breath, metaphorically, bring the same consistency to my commitments? And one of them is the show, to be here every Sunday. And so I got up today, regardless of my feelings, and I'm breathing my commitment, and I'm here, and I'm grateful I am. And shout out to Barry, who called. Shout out to Deborah, who kick the show off by calling just to remind me that Black Panthers don't stay in bed. Shout out to the movie that's out that I believe had one of the largest opening Thursday nights in box office history, which is a big deal. Shout out to all the folks that have seen the Black Panther movie. I will go see it this week. Looking forward to it. But she reminded me that I get to get out of bed. I get to go make it happen. And she was grateful that I was here, and I was grateful for her call. And shout out to all the folks who were participating on the Facebook Live that I like to have running during the start of the show so folks can interact that way. Sometimes people like to watch and comment, and so all good. Shout out to Carla and Courtney and Daryl and Keith and all the folks that checked in on the Facebook Live. I appreciate you. And there's some folks' comments I didn't get to, which I, my bad, apologies. I try to get to as many of them as possible. And if I see a few more before the show's over, I will make sure I read them. Like, shout out to Donna. Meant to say hello to her. To AJ, Nicole, Carla. Just good people, good friends, underdogs going to champs. And so I'm glad I'm here. And we talked about how the world feels a bit upside down. Scandals aren't scandals anymore. Donald Trump's lawyer paying some woman he allegedly had an affair with some hush money, and it doesn't even make it as a headline in the news. Jeff Sessions talking about Anglo-Saxon legal systems at some event he was at doesn't even make the news. Republicans like Trump now siding with the Russians, Democrats caring about deficits. Just the world is upside down. But I wouldn't just talk about that and leave us hanging. Can we find something good in all of that? Can we find an opportunity? And for me, the opportunity is when things seem upside down, when things seem like they're unconventional, aren't traditional, aren't following the rules anymore, that means we get to do things in different ways, try new things on, be innovative. And especially as an underdog, doing things the same old, same way likely won't work. And so take some of the chaos, some of the uncertainty, some of the upside downness as an opportunity to carve something out for you. Right? We live in a world where things are upside down. Amazon is one of the largest retailers in the world. People are buying shoes online at Zappos. You used to think you needed to try them on first, and now you're just ordering them online and have them sent to your house. World's upside down, but it also means there's opportunity. And also, we've been talking about reality versus fiction, fiction versus reality. Which one's better? Which one's worse? I believe we should have both. I mean, it's cool that the Black Panther movie is out. But it's also cool that we acknowledge that there was a Black Panther Party.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of Black people as to their national destiny.
And that's Huey Newton, one of the co-founders of the Black Panther Party that was started in the 1960s, talking about what the Black Panther Party was all about. Also, the land of Wakanda. I believe that is the fictional location of where all the Black Panther stuff takes place. And that's cool. It's aspirational. It's inspiring. As I talked about, it's more of the mirror of arts and entertainment, especially for Black folks, as opposed to the window, which is cool, right? It doesn't have to be either or. We can have that and we can be excited about it. But also, during this month of celebrating our history, in reality, there's been some kingdoms, metaphorically, that have flourished or at least attempted to in the United States that we can look to for inspiration about how to live in reality today. And one of those places was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the 1920s.
Back in the early 1900s, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a city exploding with opportunity. The discovery of oil, the money that flowed into Tulsa made it one of America's wealthiest boom towns. Some of the town's newfound riches landed in the hands of Tulsa's Black residents, many of whom worked for white employers. But because Blacks were unwelcome in white-owned stores, they brought their hard-earned wages back to their own community, a community known as Greenwood. There they built up a thriving business district that was so successful, it was called the Black Wall Street of America.
If you want to put up a business, that was a place to put it up. There were theaters, barbecue places, grocery stores, jewelry shops, shoeshine parlors. I mean all black businesses, all up and down Greenwood.
And we had our everything in those days. We had our plumbers, our electricians, our builders.
Everybody owned their own businesses and everybody was making money.
So during Black History Month, a month where a lot of folks are excited about Black Panther, and that's all good, I want to make sure that we take a moment to acknowledge one of the other kingdoms, not just the kingdom of Wakanda, but how about Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, which once was a thriving area located in North Tulsa, where 9,000 middle and upper class African Americans lived. It was a place where it was a city inside a city, had its own post office, police force, school systems, two newspapers, theaters. But unfortunately, in 1921, when there was a rumor of an encounter of a black man and a white woman in an elevator in South Tulsa, that would eventually lead to riots and what some might call an actual terrorist attack, where the white residents of Tulsa over a few days and literally most of it over a period of about 24 hours looted, rioted, attacked, murdered, injured the black residents of Black Wall Street. And it's been reported that when that happened, about 300 black folks were killed, 800 wounded, 8,000 people left homeless. And the homeless thing, speaking of homes, what also made Black Wall Street special was that a lot of the people there also were homeowners. And it was reported that there was a lot of friction between the community and Black Wall Street and some of those who weren't that affluent, some of the whites who weren't making good money. And there was also some jealousy in that. And no altercation between one man and one woman should lead to 300 people dying, 800 wounded, and 8,000 people left wounded, left homeless. And today, that community that once thrived back in the 1920s, it had a bit of a reboot in the 30s and 40s. Then desegregation came. There were also some highway and municipality projects that kind of destroyed that area. And now, today, that part of Tulsa, Oklahoma is nowhere near what it once was in the 1920s. And there's still talk of trying to revive it and bring it back. And so it's cool. You know, we can be interested in the Kingdom of Wakanda. But I'm also interested in the fact that there's now a goal of black leaders to bring 100 businesses back by 2021 on the 100th anniversary of those riots back to North Tulsa, back to the area that was once called Black Wall Street. With that, we're going to take a quick break. But I wanted to, during the month where we celebrate our history and during the month where Black Panther is getting all the attention, wanted to make sure that we took a moment to acknowledge the Black Panther Party. And while we all want to become members of Wakanda, I want folks to be mindful of there's another land that we can dream of that was in reality a place that we might want to go. And that's creating more Black Wall Streets going forward. Shout out to all the underdogs listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show. It's time for the big finish. I can't believe it. 2 hours again goes by too fast, but grateful to have been a part of your Sunday and you a part of mine. And I'm glad I got out of bed this morning. It's one of those days, but you made me feel better, got some life in me, and also just, again, going to breathe my commitment. And this is one of my commitments that I'm going to keep doing, keep going. Time to say some shout-outs before we get out of here. I'd like to say thank you to all the underdogs that called in. Keeping it old school. I love when we get phone calls at 212-650-6903. Always appreciate you. Shout out to Barry from Yonkers and Deborah from Manhattan. Thank you for giving me some life this afternoon. Also, shout out to all the underdogs that follow along online on Facebook, live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. Appreciate you as we got into it about the world being upside down, food stamps, Blue Apron, scandals, Philadelphia, Second City, Chicago, reality, Rocky, Black Panther Party. We talked about it all today. So I appreciate you for going on the journey. Shout out to the team of the Gregory Neesmith Show that, you know, makes this stuff happen behind the scenes. Megan, my producer, appreciate you making stuff happen while she was traveling around the globe and still getting me all the info I needed to be ready to rock today. And shout out to Kayla, who makes me sound good and look good, who edits both the live show and turns it into a podcast and also creates the YouTube video and the TV show portion of the show. And the clips, too, that I share on social media throughout the week. So shout out to Kayla, who does what she does, and I appreciate her. Again, if you miss any of the live show, you can always check out the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podomatic, Google Play. Like I said, big news, trending in the top 100 in the Society and Culture podcast category on Podomatic, which is a big deal. Out of thousands because of you. Appreciate all the listens, the downloads, the reviews, the likes. Thank you. It helps keep the show going. It helps grow it as we can, you know, reach more underdogs out there and help each other rediscover how special we are in the world. With that, as always, you know, I leave you with my favorite quote, and hopefully we've gotten to the point where you can say it with me, because I'm going to do it right now. As always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.